What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BTC Tell back on the pitch. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's get to the phones here. We're talking Mets all day, and in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. But it's been a Mets day today, and look, really, it's been a Mets season. I mean, since June 7th, best team in Major League Baseball. Yankees, one of the worst. Only the White Sox somehow have been worse than the Yankees. And I think this is huge. Oh, look, it's not only a big weekend BT in baseball here with the Mets trying to put the hammer to the Braves and leapfrog them in the National League standings. I think this is a huge series for the Yankees, even more so than the Subway Series. This is the Red Sox. This is Fenway Park. This is kind of where it all started to go downhill, where they embarrassed the Yankees on Sunday Night Baseball. Yanks got to get some wins here ahead of the trade deadline. Otherwise, they risk losing their hold on the standings in the American League Wild
Card. How do you think they'll do?
Look, who knows with this team, but I got to believe what I'm seeing for the most part. And I also don't trust the starting pitching. Like, I like Nestor, but I mean, on the road, that ballpark, I think he's going to get hit. Mm. And the way the Yankees lineup is right now, I have no faith that they're going to score. I mean, if the Red Sox throw Judge a strike, they're idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Is Volpe going to get going or keep it going?
I mean, he's been better at the second half, yeah, but I hear you.
He didn't get it done in the big spot against Ottavino.
No. Listen, I don't expect much, and that's my point. Like, I don't expect the Yankees.
I think they're going to lose the series. I'm with you.
Yeah, I think they're going to lose 2 out of 3. To just waltz up there and suddenly, you know, whatever ails them, and there's a lot of things at this point. They just find the one magic elixir pill, and boom, they're good to go. No, I think the elixir is going to have to come in the form of big trades, which I said for a while now. Now, I'll tell you this, just to prove I'm consistent with this, even if the Yankees win 2 out of 3, I don't want to say it means nothing to me, because I don't want to minimize wins, but I still, it would do nothing to increase my level of faith in what they could do, if I'm going to say it until the deadline's over, or until they do something. Or don't. If they don't make multiple big trades, they will win nothing.
What if they get swept?
I don't really think it matters. 2 out of 3 gets swept. What's the difference, really? Besides perceptual difference, it's one game. And what's the difference? They're playing so terribly since June 7th.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Well, my point is that with the deadline on Tuesday, if they get swept, would you change your mind at all thinking, you know what, maybe this team isn't worth investing in?
That will not happen. No. No, only because of the Hall of Famers still in their prime that they have. I've said this a million times. They owe it to them and themselves to add to that, not subtract from it. I thought you were going to go in a different direction. Like, say if they get swept this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and then say it's really ugly against the Phillies.
which can happen.
Uh-huh. Now, I don't think it would change much, given modern baseball. You keep running Boone out there?
Well, I mean something's got to change. Man, they haven't done it. This regime, they don't make any changes. But that's part of the problem, isn't it? Just sit back and hope that let's wait for John Carlos Stanton to come back. Let's wait for Dominguez to come back. Let's hope that it changes. I'm not saying Boone's the problem. I don't think that he is the problem.
I don't think so either. He's not the solution that you need him to be.
Well, they should have changed things.
But he's not the problem.
They should have changed things. Cashman and Boone should not be here. All due respect to them, it's not personal. After the during the 2021 season, that is when change should have taken place. There's just no accountability.
So if they lose 9 of 14,
I think they're going to get swept this weekend.
Okay, so if they're 8 of 12, 9 of 13, Boone is still. I mean, long do you push this?
I don't know, but it's gone on 7 weeks.
I know.
If they get swept, it's going to be going into the 8th week. At some point, something's got to change. You can't just wait and hope to get out of it. And even the deadline moves, we don't know what they're going to do, and we don't know how significant that's going to change things. And ultimately, if the Yankees don't get better performances from the guys that they have here, it doesn't matter who they bring in. There aren't enough moves there. If Volpe is not the player that they expected, if Giancarlo Stanton is not staying healthy and producing to the level that he was when he was healthy, they have no chance anyway.
But I think that...
Well, the starting rotation, go to them, Gerrit Cole or Rodon or Nestor or Stroman, whatever. If those guys don't pitch the way that they're supposed to, what moves the Yankees going to make?
I definitely hear you on the pitching, but I'm of the belief that if they get the right bat or two in here, it's even if the other guys aren't playing amazing, I think it makes them more whole, which makes them more dangerous. I mean, you have to get to the point where you can't pitch around Aaron Judge. I mean, that has to be the basic starting point.
Well, we're nowhere near that right now.
I know.
And that's a major problem, which is why I think they're going to get swept. Think about it. If the Red Sox are smart, now the problem is they have no lefties going at the Yankees, which is a different lineup. But still, even with the righties, why pitch to Judge? I'll take it a step further. I'd barely pitch to Soto, too. Put those guys on base. Get everybody else out. The Yankees are going to win. Here's the formula. Ben Wright's going to have to hit a couple home runs this weekend.
I think Austin Wells might have a good weekend.
Yeah, Wells has been much better. Still, I mean, what's he hitting? Is
200? No, the average is low. Average is low. I think it's about 225, 230, something like that.
Think about that. All of a sudden, it's like, Wells is, and I'm not saying you, I'm just in general. It's like, hey, he's one of the guys who's hitting. He's hitting 220. What are the Yankees' averages right now? Outside of Soto and Judge.
Hold on, let me pull them
outside
up,
of Soto and Judge, which we know are all world. And it does go to show you're better off building a team than you are having two superstars.
Or have two superstars and just make sure that you build a better team around
them. You still need the team.
Which they haven't done. All right, let's see. You ready?
Yeah.
So I'm going back to Wednesday's game. I'm just popping up the box score rather than just go through the Yankee stats and top to mind. So the Yankees batting averages are, let's see. Torres is hitting 230 something. It's actually clipped off for some reason. He batted first. We know he had two hits the other night. Soto. Grisham hitting 180 something. Ben Rice is below 200.
Yeah,
I didn't even realize he was below 2.
At least he gives quality at bats.
He does. He does.
And again, we know batting average isn't the be-all, end-all barometer.
He looks like he's got a plan at least.
Yeah.
I do think there's some potential there. Austin Wells is up to 220-something. Verdugo's in the 220s. J.D. Davis is two teens. DJ's hitting 170. I mean, this is just grotesque.
Wait, I'm looking at this real quick.
Jones is hitting 230-something. Cabrera, 240-something.
They don't have a player that is close to, not even close to an 800 OPS outside of Soto and Judge.
Let me guess who would be the closest. Hold on. It's not Torres.
No, I'm sorry. There is one that's close.
Rice has some power, so it could be Rice despite the low average. Let me just look at this. Hold on.
I'm just going to give you one that's not here now. Stanton is close.
Yeah, no, I know Stanton. I got you.
Stanton 795.
Yeah, definitely not Jones. Definitely not Cabrera. Definitely not DJ. Definitely not JD Martinez. Definitely not Verdugo. Volpe's in the low sevens. Not him. Wells is on base a little bit. Could be I would say Wells or Rice.
Yeah, Wells and Rice. Wells is 727 and Rice is 721.
Yep.
I mean, that is a freaking embarrassment.
That's bad.
I'm not a big numbers guy, but the numbers back it up there.
Oh, yeah.
Let anybody else be you. Volpe 681.
Ugh.
He's hitting 250. Volpe's killing him. Verdugo, OPS of 652.
Hold on a second, though. The thing with Volpe.
Woof for Verdugo. 652 OPS.
Yeah, he is sunken like a rock to the ocean floor. The thing about Volpe's, what is it, 251 or 250 on the button?
You take 250.
Is it 250?
Yeah, it is 250. On base is 304. He's got to get on base a lot.
I think last year on base was like 290. But if you told me before the year that Volpe would be hitting 250 entering August, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'd say? Here we go. because I wouldn't expect these incredible heights with these just unexpectedly, you know, frightening falls. Like, his lack of consistency is terrifying. And I would figure...
super high and then super low.
Yeah. And I would figure incorrectly, just based on last year's evidence, that if he was hitting 250, what does he have, 7 home runs? Instead of having 7 home runs, he would be on pace for 25 again, roughly. And he might be, because the average is a lot higher, he might steal 35 bases. But the numbers there, with the increased average, are not going north and elevating the way that they should, like commensurate with an increased batting average. It's weird.
103 games, he gets 7 home runs, and he's hitting 251.
How
and
many steals?
That is 19? 17. Ugh. And that's why we liked him so much earlier in the year, because the Yankees don't need Volpe to hit 30 home runs or 25 home runs.
Nope.
But you do need him to get on base and hit for a higher average.
You do.
That's what you want. You want to see him on base, stealing bases, hitting the ball all over the place, running around the bases. That's what you need. You can't hit 251 and have 7 home runs.
I know.
Like, you either got to hit 25 home runs and hit 251 or hit 300 and have 7 home runs.
And, boy, he came out with such a different, refined approach. Like, he really went to the laboratory this offseason, and that is hard. He was hitting the ball to right field. He was, you know, shortened up with 2 swings. He was really, he just looked different. Forget about the stats. He looked different. And then, boom, gone.
Back to the lab for Volpe. You got something, Hoff?
Yeah, just because this is actually a vast improvement from what they were last year. I mean, the Yankees last year finished with the second to worst batting average in the league at 227.
I think the A's were dead last, right?
They were 223. Right.
What?
And their OPS was a 701
right,
as a team.
But that's without Judge. Now they're doing similar with Judge and Soto having all world seasons.
Yeah.
How is this even possible? It's hard to be that bad when you have Gerrit Cole, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge. The worst team. Like, the White Sox have an excuse. They suck. What's the Yankees' excuse? And last year it was, oh, well, Judge is hurt. Judge is hurt. Well, okay, well, now Judge is healthy and Soto's here. What's the excuse? Oh, Stanton's hurt. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Stanton's hurt. That's the excuse.
Honest question. All right, we need an honest answer from both you and Hoff.
Yeah.
Hoff, you're first. You ready?
Yeah.
Are you taking a little joy in this demise of the Yankees?
No, I'm not. And I'll tell you why. Because I won a championship in New York no matter how we get it. And I thought early in the season that the Yankees were the best opportunity for that.
Okay.
So I'll take it. I don't care who it is. New York needs to hold the ring, hold a trophy.
Respect
anything,
that.
So.
Respect that. He's taking one for the team there. Okay. I think my partner could be a little different here. I know he wants what's good for the show.
Yeah.
I know you're not a Yankee hater, despite what some people might think. I know you're not.
Right, right.
But are you taking a little enjoyment in things coming off the rails?
Well, I mean, look, you know I do want what's best for the show, obviously. And I'm not the same person that I was. Like, if you asked me this in 2000, yeah, I hated the Yankees. I've said that many times, but now I consider myself a professional, unbiased, and I'm going to give my opinion how I see it. But you better believe I'm loving every second of this. The Yankees are awful. Yes. I mean, I don't want to see anybody lose their job. Like, I like Aaron Boone. I like having some fun with him. But this is great. What, are you kidding me? Getting swept away by the Mets. Season on the brink. I don't care where they are in the standings. I'm watching this team. They're a bad baseball team. Am I enjoying this? Absolutely. I love it.
Especially
sitting here with you.
That's a good answer.
Oh, it's even better.
Yep.
And on the overnights, like, it kind of loses its luster. It's like, whatever. But sitting here with you, big Yankee fan yourself.
Yeah. I hear you. I get it. You should feel that way. You should.
Brings a smile to my face.
It should. No dot, dot, dot. Nothing else to add.
And you know what the best part is? Mm. It keeps getting worse.
Yeah, it is. And yours keeps getting better.
I know. It's unbelievable.
It's
this
ironic.
Just doesn't happen. I got to enjoy it while I can. I get the history. Don't worry, Yankee fans. I know the history. I know the greatness and all that stuff. But, hey, right now?
Mm-hmm. I do have just a few things, shall we say, screenshotted for if receipts need to come out.
See, it's that confidence right there.
It's got a couple things.
I don't even want to say coming. It's that arrogance. That's what bothers me. That's why I'm enjoying it.
A couple things in the back pocket.
Because not only are you sitting there saying like, keep a couple receipts.
It's cute. Nice little run you guys are riding.
You're expecting it to go the other way.
Receipts.
I'll tell you this. This is a forewarning to the Mets here. You can't let this one go the other way. I won't be able to tolerate this one going the other way. You got me sucked back in. I ripped you. I apologized. I was wrong. You got me sucked back in. You can't hurt me anymore. Not now. This has got to be different. The damn Grimace suit. I had to embrace the stupid Grimace.
Where is that thing? That thing was right on the console.
Yeah,
the
throw it out. Yeah, Evan had it hung up in here. We had to rip that thing down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
A-Rod
right.
Banner's going next. They don't know about cutting that thing down, too. Maybe next week.
Yeah.
I'm all in. They cannot hurt me this time. I don't know if I could recover from that. Yanks could play better, sure. Like, whatever.
That's fine. I got you. The but real hurt would be the implosion of the Mets.
And I really don't see it coming.
Well, then,
I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series.
I know you're not.
I really don't think that they're going to collapse and fold and go to the team that we saw earlier in the year. I don't believe that's possible with this team.
you stumbled a little bit at the end as you were saying that.
No, I don't believe it's possible.
You know what? I don't believe that either. I honestly don't. I don't believe that either. I don't. I don't believe that.
How could they?
But as we've seen with Lindor recently, I've been wrong before.
With an MVP like Lindor, it can't happen. Mike is calling from Elmont. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, boys? How are you doing today? Happy Friday.
How are you, Mike?
Thanks, Mike. What's up, buddy?
Good, man. Good. I just wanted to call, everybody's talking about Lindor. First of all, this is why baseball is probably, in my opinion, the best sport. The ups and the downs. You know, May, the Mets are done. The Yankees are going to the World Series. And here we are, two opposite ends of the spectrum. And, like Sal, I am loving it. I am I'm a Yankee hater, full and through. Honestly, BT, I do think they will have a resurgence. So I'm not one to talk like, here we go, the Yankees are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. What do you guys think about a Mets-Yankee Subway Series this year? How would that be?
Not happening.
Well, Yanks, and thanks for the call. My Yanks have a lot of work to do to make that the case.
I'm not feeling it this year.
Want it?
Of course. Oh, my God.
I usually don't want it, but...
Yeah. I don't understand.
Because I want the Mets to have their own World Series. Oh. Like, it takes away... That's it. It's not afraid of the Yankees or whatever. For both teams. Yankees haven't been to a World Series since 2009. You want it to be about the Subway Series or the fact that they get back to a World Series and had the Mets steal some of that shine? You know what I mean?
I'll take either. I mean, put it this way. Would I rather see the Yankees play the Mets or the Brewers?
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying the Brewers
but
I mean, of course, like the Dodgers would be an all-time matchup. Yeah. That would be fun.
Well, from that perspective, and for business, I mean, what are you kidding me?
Yeah, of course.
It'd be the greatest thing ever.
I don't shy away from this. And I don't, you guys say, and Evan says the same thing, and I hear you, and I think you position it pretty intelligently, but I don't think that you guys fully believe this, if I may tap into a theory here.
Yeah.
I really do think that deep down, you guys are afraid. Not only of this Yankees team. This Yankees team is not worthy of being afraid of. This Yankees team without big moves, as I said, a million, going nowhere. Yeah. I'm talking about you waited basically 25% of a century. You get your rematch, and you lose again.
I think the damage...
Like, emotionally, I'm willing to take that chance. Maybe because I already got the other one in 2000. I don't know. Maybe it's big brother confidence versus I like being a Jet fan, little brother.
But the Mets
fatigue.
Have nothing to lose. We've already experienced
that. You have everything to lose.
No. Yes, I think it's quite the opposite.
No.
I've already experienced it. Like, it'll never, for me, get worse than watching.
How could it not get worse if it happens again?
What's the difference? It already happened.
Yeah, but if it happens again.
And it happened 25 years ago when I actually legitimately, hated the Yankees.
What's worse, getting in one car accident or getting in two?
Well, I mean...
What's worse,
obviously, they're both bad scenarios.
I'm just saying, whatever. Yeah. Like, anytime something bad happens again, it's worse.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that the first punch... And once you get punched in the face and knocked out, and you get knocked out again, it's like, oh, I've already been there before.
Yeah, but you got up, and here we are. You're up.
Breakup.
Okay.
Nothing hurts more than the first breakup, right?
Honestly, I don't think I was ever really that taken back by a breakup.
Really
don't.
Oh, look at
you. I knew that was going to come across the wrong way. No, not at all. Not like I was some stud. No, I don't mean that. But
I used to handle those things poorly. I wasn't.
You have said that before. Yeah. The ones that hurt were the ones that showed me no interest. There was like one or two when I was younger. I'm like,
interest.
Like
the first...
That crushed me. But the ones, the breakups,
Yeah, but all right, but by the time, like the early on, whatever, like if you didn't get, at some point something went wrong and you felt badly about certain things, whether it's rejection or even your first rejection. All right, that hurts. But by the second or third time, it's like, whatever.
Oh, so you got used to being rejected.
No, I'm saying you get. I was saying the breakup. Oh, you're saying you've never been rejected?
I'm not saying that at all. I'm definitely not saying
that. No, but you got that look.
Definitely saying I didn't get used to it, though. I definitely.
The first breakup for me was hard. I mean, the third was hard too.
And the fourth one is a little bit more accepting
of it. But once you deal with that first one, it's like, whatever.
Yeah. That's not a good example,
it's
though.
It's never for me going to get worse than it was in 2000.
It's not a good example because, like, I mean, outside of, you know.
How about the Falcons? Do you think if the Falcons lost another Super Bowl, you think it hurt me as much as
2003? No, because you yourself have said on this show that you don't care about the Falcons the way you once did. No,
but forget that. Because
I can't, because you said it.
No, but I also don't care about the Mets and Yankees the way that I did 25 years ago, too. So that's
different stage of life. Yeah. All right. I do understand that. And I would agree with that.
I don't hate the Yankees the way that I did then. I'm not as nuts about the Mets as I was then. That's like
I've often said there's no way that I can replicate the energy of 96 because it was the first one that I actually watched.
Pound for pound, losing the Super Bowl 28th after being up 28-3 late third quarter, your boy Dan Quinn blowing that whether I'm as the same fan or not doesn't matter. Like that loss will never be it could never hurt me again.
But there's a difference here. See, I still don't. I appreciate the effort. I don't buy it because this will be so much more intimate. Every time you went into your Steve Cohen routine, the King, the trumpets, this, all I'd have to say is World Series. Like I could just shut you down because back then we weren't even in the business. I wasn't working in New York.
You mean as far as the Subway
Yankees world? And the Mets play in the World Series and the Yankees, which by the way is not going to happen this year, but if it did. And which I'm all for. Bring it on. And the Yankees win. You have nowhere to go. And you bring up Soto. I just kind of like, get out of here. Like a little gnat buzzing around.
Yeah, but
get lost.
There's nowhere to go
get
anyway.
Get this gnat out of here.
Like the same.
Gone your way, buddy.
The same. If the Mets get to and win a World Series, regardless of who they play, that takes precedent over anything.
I agree.
Now, if they beat the Yankees, it's sweeter.
Unless
sure.
you beat the Yankees. Right. You're not willing to take that chance.
I know. I'm fine with taking that chance now. I'd rather not have it because of the attention. I want it to be about the Mets being in it.
I know that you say that, and I'm saying I think that you use that to deflect because you don't want a piece of the big boys. Well, that's what I think.
The big boys that got broomed this year?
Those guys.
Those are the big boys?
The remnants of the big boys. Whatever remains.
Hey, look, we talked to Tino,
the ashes
Joe
of the big boys.
Yesterday.
Yeah, those are the big boys.
Those are the big boys.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Neal. I don't want to see those guys.
Oh, this team's got a lot of work to
do. Those guys give me nightmares. Jeter. Yeah. I don't want to see any of those guys. Yeah. Jeffrey Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want Moe exactly. I don't want to see those guys.
I got you.
Clemens. These guys?
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Chris?
I am a Yankee fan. I'm here not to offer an apology like BT, but to say that I was wrong, too. No, I'm saying I'm not.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I was one of those Yankee fans that laughed at the team meeting. Then I actually listened. to what the team meeting was about. And I came to realize something.
What?
That this whole season comes down to one thing. For the Yankees, hell, maybe even for the whole damn country, accountability. And the fact that the Mets stood up in that team meeting and said that, hey, every single person is going to be held accountable for what they do on the field every single game. And then I got a ton of respect for that team for turning their season around because they held themselves accountable. Quite frankly, unlike the New York Yankees, who basically have made excuses for 6 weeks. And I think that's what turned this whole season around for them.
Hmm. We think there, Sal.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that, especially the part where you were apologizing to the Mets and saying you were wrong. It takes a man to admit that they were wrong, like BT did earlier. Colossally wrong in this particular case. I've done it many times before. We know that.
Yeah.
You sit in these chairs long enough, you give sports opinions, you're going to be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this.
Yes.
I don't make those bold predictions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the top wild card spot in the National League is over. Over. Payback is a you-know-what, Atlanta. Woo! And you know what? After we catch Atlanta, BT, we're coming for the Phillies and paying them back for 2007. We are just getting started. If. And BT.
Yeah.
I think it's getting even better. Andy Martino.
Oh, we got a trade
No, not yet.
Okay.
Oh, no trade officially. I don't want to get people too excited.
Okay.
Andy Martino of SNY tweeted a short time ago.
Yep.
Because this is off of yesterday. We were talking about, actually on Baseball Night New York, talking about how could this weekend series against the Braves change things. Like Andy's reporting prior to the sweep of the Subway Series that the Mets would be in on bullpen arms. So, all right, well, what if they take care of Atlanta here? He's like, you know, I'm not so sure about that, if they would be even more aggressive. Andy says, I asked a rival exec this morning what he was hearing about the Mets. Quote, they're going for it.
All right.
They are going for it! King Cohen is back! The Mets are back! Now, I don't want to hear that going for it, adding a bullpen arm or two. Quote, going for it! Thank you, King! Thank you! Or should I say, make sure you do not disappoint, and then come Wednesday, I can thank you properly. But King Cohen, he realizes what he has here, BT. They're going for it, as they should, with this team that has earned their backing, earned front office support to go for it this season.
I can't stand that song already. All right, so, again, theatrics appreciated. Yeah, we love Sal. Let me just, I don't know if this will be audible on the air. Hopefully it will be. I just want you to hear, close your eyes for a second.
Yes.
I want you to hear something. You ready? Mm-hmm. Ready? Hold on. You know what that is?
Dropping a quarter?
Yeah. Once more for everybody else. Ready? What does that sound like, Sam?
Dropping some change on the table.
This is heads. That's tails.
Right.
There's always two sides. And for you to have not figured this out yet by now is amusing to me.
Hey. When they go all in, I go all in.
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? They already blew the division a couple years.
I'm going to tell you.
Oh, baby, this is going to be a great season. Who would have ever thought this was possible? Hey, we thought we'd be talking Jets and Giants right now. What, are you going to be training camp? Oh, we got to talk about Rodgers. Mets are dead.
Nah, not yet.
They're going for it. Oh, music to my ears. Mm-hmm. Hey, all kidding aside, that's the only move. Go for it. if you're going to get this close.
That's an encouraging report. All kidding aside, if I'm a Mets fan,
rival,
and I hear that.
Rival exec.
People are chirping, phones are ringing, texts are beeping, you know, things are happening. Mets seem to be in the middle of a lot, which I'm not surprised about, and which is very, very, very good to hear.
I'd be scared if I'm other teams, because you know when Cohen's going for it.
See, here we go. Push it into
I'm telling you, dude, you never know what could happen here. Imagine they do pull off that Javi Baez thing with Scooball or something. Like, you just don't know.
I know.
Those are the type. They're not gonna trade top guys who could be impactful players. They may trade a prospect or two or whatever, or maybe even a top 10 prospect, let's say, for the right move. I don't think that anything should be off the table. That's what going for means. But they might not have to if they could take on bad contracts. Buy your way out of it, Stevie, in a smart way, not just in free agency.
So real quick here, the anticipation meter is something that you and I tapped into strongly with Yamamoto.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yes.
I mean, you really thought he was coming. And yes. I thought he was going to the Bronx, okay? You also now, further emboldened by your buddy Martino's report, the way the Mets are playing, the resources that Cohen has, that meter, is it the anticipation report, is it as strong? Like, do you that much believe that the Mets are about to do something big? Like, you did think they were going to get Yamamoto.
I was not excited about this deadline from a Mets perspective at all. Like, curious, sure, assuming, expecting that they would get bullpen arms, sure. Now I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
The excitement, anticipation, now it's on. Okay. Now I feel like the Mets are in business. Not just like, oh yeah, we'll maybe try to add a little bit to, you know, see what we can do. No, now I feel like they're going for it.
Okay.
And that's exciting. All right. Evan is calling from Woodmere. What's up, Evan?
What's up, Brandon? What's up, Sal?
Hey.
Brandon, you're not going to love me right now because I have to hold your feet to the fire here.
With?
I got a lot of issues with some of your takes, so I'm just going to point to two right now.
Okay.
February 6th, you tweet out the Yankees acquire Caleb Ferguson. You tweet, and I quote, Caleb Ferguson is going to crush it in the Bronx. So let me ask you, you know what Caleb Ferguson's ERA is?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is.
Might have been a typo. Wasn't Caleb Ferguson going to get crushed in the Bronx?
Exactly. Great, great. Correct. It's 575. So that's just the first thing.
And by the way, I'm going to let you roll through my, apparently some comedy of errors here. But for you to grab that one, that's fairly benign, actually.
Yeah, that's a lot worse. That was on my radar. But when you tweeted it, I was ready for that one.
All right.
But then on April 8th, you came out and you said that you would not sign up for Anthony Volpe to be the New York Mets version of Lindor. Anthony Volpe doesn't sniff Frank Cicero Lindor's jockstrap right now.
Well, thankfully for Volpe, who would want to do that? I hear you. He does not.
What do you mean right now? Will you sign up for right now if Anthony Volpe in the future becomes Francisco Lindor?
Hold on. Tweetmaster. What was the date on that? Just so I know, since you're the head tweetmaster.
April
what was
8th.
It? Okay. What was Lindor's batting average on August 8th? Was it 07 or 090? I forgot. What was it? What was it on August 8th? What was it? What was it?
Would you sign up?
What was it? Just answer
him. April 8th, who cares? It's April 8th.
Ev, listen, I don't think it's all good. But I'm pushing back because you have to look at the time that it was written. That matters. Context.
Right. I mean, I don't know what everybody wants. We're not in the prediction business.
No,
getting right or wrong.
I don't
doesn't
pretend
matter.
To
you,
be.
You give opinion, you do it based on the moment. You're going to get some right, you're going to get some wrong.
Just see what Lindor was hitting on August 8th, just to dot the I's here. On April 8th, Lindor, he's now batting first because he couldn't cut the two or the three hole. Let me just see here. Let me go to the splits here, game log. All right. So, April 8th, Lindor was batting a robust 089.
I mean, but it's April 8th, so who cares anyway?
Well, like, I tweeted it April 8th,
right.
You know?
All right, so let me ask you right now, on July 26th.
Yes.
Who would you rather have right now?
I would love to see Lindor in pinstripes in the middle of the diamond right now because he's everything that the Yankees need. But moving forward, Volpe. Age, contract. I'm not saying Volpe's going to be that. The chances that Volpe, please understand this. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you. The chances that Volpe becomes, 30-30. Oh, actually, he could do it. He almost did it last year. I don't think he'll ever quite ascend to like one of the best players in the game like Lindor was with Cleveland and like he is now. I don't think his ceiling will ever get there. I don't. But he's also never going to make $34 million a year for a contract that stretches for, what, 7 or 8 more years, whatever it is, something like that? Something like that. 8, 9?
If money were not a factor.
Lindor's better.
No, I'm saying right now, would you trade Volpe for Lindor? No contract being a factor.
I don't like that he's 30, 31. Volpe's young. Volpe's young.
Right,
what a gold glove.
You're
trying to set the bombs.
You're trying to win a World Series?
Set the bases.
You Lindor, Soto, Judge? Lindor, you have three MVPs. Lindor, Soto, Judge?
Pfft.
No, money's not a factor.
I know.
Come on, we all know the answer. Will you just admit it?
Listen, I'm going to roll with the Jersey kid. I'm going to roll with the Del Barton boy.
Come on. And you're going to roll right off the cliff.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung out and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. I know we've been talking a lot here. I want to hear from some of you guys here before we say goodbye, so let's get to the calls. It's been a heavy Mets show. Big weekend for the Mets as they continue their series against the Braves, trying to overtake them in the National League wildcard race. And the Yankees will get back in action tonight in Boston, first of three in Fenway, as the Yanks try to hold off the Red Sox from coming closer to them in the American League wildcard standings. Eve is calling from Queens. What's up, Eve?
Hey, how you guys doing? Good afternoon.
Good. How are you?
What's happening?
I'm doing well. I just want one quick question, and if I'm correct, this will kind of prove my point of how well Sandy Alderson did as a Met GM. I was wondering, was Vientos and Alvarez, were they drafted under Alderson? Because if that's the case, then that means they would have Alonzo, Nimmo. I know Sal's down on McNeil, but he's had two good years on the Mets, and he's starting.
He's inconsistent
to hit now.
That's my issue. Yeah. Oh wow. Nice. Thank you for the call, Eve. Hey, nice of Jeff McNeil to start to hit now. It's almost August. Yeah. Happy Jeff. That's great. Happy Jeff. Well, where's consistent Jeff? That's the Jeff that I want. Consistent Jeff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that might be gone because I think he's somehow transitioned into a power hitter now in an odd way. So you might get different Jeff. Right. I don't know if you get consistent Jeff.
What's his? You have his numbers up there real quick? I'm just curious what his average is now.
I think it's 235 last I looked.
Yeah,
like
okay,
that.
Great. He should be hitting 320. Like, and this is nice to see. And the Mets have needed it because other guys have slowed down a little bit. So good for
231.
McNeil. I mean, think about what we're talking about here. Oh, happy Jeff. He's going nuts. He's gone nuts since the All-Star break. He's still hitting 231.
Yeah.
So what is Jeff McNeil as a player? Like, he's a gamer as far as you can put him in left, put him in right, put him in second base, play him in third. He'll do that. He's fine defensively. But at the plate, what does he do? I mean, he's not fast when he gets on the base pass. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even know how to run the bases properly. So he's become a power hitter all of a sudden. Jeff McNeil, you're going to rely on him to hit, you know, 20 home runs? That's not him.
No.
So what is he? So if he's not hitting 300, what is he?
He's an overpaid player is what he is. Which, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have value the rest of the season.
Correct. I'd still trade him just because I think his value is high. Now, maybe it's something that, hey, sit on it, ride out the year, and then look to make those type of changes.
Off-season.
Yeah. Because as much as I don't want Jeff McNeil on this team moving forward for reasons of inconsistency and the selfishness, whatever, it's working right now, and that's not a type of move that you need to necessarily make now.
Yep.
And just do it in the offseason. But
good.
But, like, tell me you're going to rely on him next year to do what?
I don't think he'll be on the team next year.
Okay.
Unless he went on some crazy run and this continues and he does some damage in the playoffs. I think he's going to be an ex-Met.
Right. But there's a reason for that because you just don't know. You can't rely on him. Bobby is calling from Westchester. What's up, Bobby?
Sal, you stole one of my points. I wanted to hear the King Cohen song, but you played it already.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Listen, Sal, you know, you are the new voice of the Mets for the fan listeners. Evan's out, you're in. Here's what I want. I don't want you down on Wednesday because let me tell you my take on the trade deadline. You said, correct me if I'm wrong, two bullpen arms, be nice to get a starter, and, you know, a bench player, a bat.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, do you really think they have the trade chips to make all those moves?
Yes, Bobby, because you're talking about taking on money. So, first of all, what's it going to cost to get a bench player or an outfielder? It shouldn't cost much.
But go to the bullpen. Everybody's looking for bullpen help.
It's going to cost a lot. They're going to have to take on a bad contract or take on, you know, some, you know, another player's bad contract. They have to take on money or trade a prospect. That's the only two ways to do it.
So now if they make a move for a stud reliever and a bench player, are you down on them Wednesday morning?
I'd be disappointed, Bobby, and thank you for the call, and I do appreciate the kind words. That would not be enough to me, BT. He said a stud reliever and a bench bat. That's close. It's not good enough. That's not all in.
Yeah.
Like, they need, if the Mets don't come away with minimum two bullpen arms, like, that's minimum. I'm assuming they're getting two arms. Could be both guys from the same team, could be two different trades. They need two major league arms that are capable of getting outs in high leverage situations, minimum. And then, if you want to talk about all in, get a top of the rotation starter, but at least if they get a bench bat, if you tell me, Bobby, if the question was, if they get two legit bullpen arms and a bench bat, would I go nuts Wednesday? I would not go nuts Wednesday. I'd be at least satisfied with that.
I think you'll be happy. Yeah. I do. I think you're going to be happy with whatever happens. I think it's going to be enough where, let's say you'll be like, you know, end of the spectrum enthralled, like over the moon doing flips, like, wow. But I don't think on Wednesday that we will get bothered Sal or lamenting Sal. I think what they do.
I won't be disappointed.
No, I think you will be, you know, take the middle. You will be right of
right
of like what's acceptable, or you know, like
right. What, yeah,
or, like if the middle's benign, like you know, not great, not bad. I think you're going to be to the right of that. I think you're going to be happy. I don't think you're going to be
six
thrilled.
Or seven.
Yeah, maybe even a 7.5. I think you're going to like
right.
What you got.
Now, I'd like to get in the 8-10 range.
Yeah, wouldn't we all?
Joe is in Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
You guys crack me up. I absolutely love it. That last joke, I mean, it's great. It's like hanging out with the guys I used to work with. Anyway, two quick comments and then a question for you, especially BT.
Yeah.
Regarding the show yesterday, I called. It was too late. The name of the movie that they were watching in the dugout, eating the popcorn.
What was it?
The Bronx Bombing. The Bronx Bombing. That was my name of the movie. Oh, okay. My other comment is, I understand the direction of baseball, but I find myself, I'm constantly looking at the pitch clock. I mean, not the pitch clock, the pitch count, and it drives me nuts that I got to watch these guys roll 20 to 30 pitches in the first inning. It drives me nuts. First of all, I'm a Met fan. I don't know if you recognize my voice. I'm a Met fan. My question is, BT and Sal, I don't know if you saw it last night. The ninth inning on the court stealing at third base. Do you think that Vientos was right in just holding his glove there? I was thinking he's got to reach for that because there's no guarantee. You got to reach for the tag because if that ump called him safe, they wouldn't have overturned it the other way either. So that was my question for you guys. You guys have a fantastic weekend. Keep it up. Sal, looking forward to you tonight on the show.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Baseball Night in New York, 6 o'clock. Which play is he talking about here? I don't recall that one off. You know which play he's talking about with Vientos and the tag?
Yeah, so Merrifield stole third base.
Right.
And Alvarez wasn't a perfect throw, but close to it.
Right.
And Vientos kind of caught it, but didn't make the tag properly. And they actually, look, he actually got in there before the tag, but
right.
They called him out, and it wasn't enough to overturn it, so they called him out.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a bang-bang, as you'd think.
And look, Vientos is not a, you know, he's not a great defensive third baseman, so maybe there's issues there. I think I might have seen the play, but now I'm forgetting why. Was that the one that they were talking about overturning it?
Yeah, that's that's the one.
And they were surprised that
that they didn't overturn it.
Okay, I was half paying attention to it at that point. You know what we were watching last night? That Presumed Innocent show. Have you seen this one? We talked about this with Jake Gyllenhaal.
No.
So I had that one on. I was watching both, and I might have missed that. But I do remember them talking about it on the broadcast. So I might have just gotten in as that play was developing.
You know what I was watching last night? 40 little girls ice skate, 36 of which don't know how to ice skate, hoping nobody bangs their head with a lawsuit for my daughter's birthday party. It was awesome.
You didn't put on the skates, though.
I was out there. I didn't feel well yesterday, actually. It was such a long day. It was an amazing party, but it was so... Listen, you're going to learn because she's still young. Now she's going to school, and like the first couple of birthdays are big, but she doesn't have a ton of friends yet. It's like family, maybe neighbors, or knowing you. I don't know if you even want to... Yeah. You might not even want to talk to your neighbors, knowing you. But... As she gets to school, Hoff knows this, as she gets into school and she's 7 and 8, eventually she's on some teams, soccer, softball, basketball, whatever, Brownies, Girl Scouts. That party list grows. And there was 40-something kids
that's
at this
insane.
Ice skating, right? It was great. She deserves it. It was awesome.
Well, happy birthday, Kins. Glad you had a great week. Glad you had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
You will be off Monday, Tuesday, correct? Yeah. Just know when you come back Wednesday, you heard a happy Jeff.
The coin flips.
It's going to be happy Sal. Yankees may be dead and buried officially.
Show me something. Keep showing us, man. Don't stop.
Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff as well. All right, BT.
Yes,
enjoy
sir.
Your weekend. Enjoy your couple of days
Thanks,
off.
Buddy.
We'll see you next week. Evan and Tiki coming in next, but it's McMonagle and Marash filling in for those two. I'll see you Monday, 10 a.m. Enjoy your weekend.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm going to roll with the Jersey kid. I'm roll with the Jersey I'm going to roll with the Del Barton boy.
Come on. And you're going to roll right off the cliff.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung out and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. I know we've been talking a lot here. I want to hear from some of you guys here before we say goodbye, so let's get to the calls. Been a heavy Mets show. Big weekend for the Mets as they continue their series against the Braves, trying to overtake them in the National League wildcard race. And the Yankees will get back in action tonight in Boston, first of three in Fenway, as the Yanks try to hold off the Red Sox from coming closer to them in the American League wildcard standings. Eve is calling from Queens. What's up, Eve?
Hey, how you guys doing? Good afternoon.
Good. How are you?
What's happening?
I'm doing well. I just want one quick question, and if I'm correct, this will kind of prove my point of how well Sandy Alderson did as a Met GM. I'm wondering, was Vientos and Alvarez, were they drafted under Alderson? Because if that's the case, then that means they would have Alonso, Nimmo. I know Sal's a little down on. I know Sal's down on McNeil, but he's had two good years on the Mets, and he's starting.
He's inconsistent
to hit now.
That's my issue. Yeah. Oh wow. Nice. Thank you for the call, Eve. Hey, nice of Jeff McNeil to start to hit now. It's almost August. Yeah. Happy Jeff. That's great. Happy Jeff. Well, where's consistent Jeff? That's the Jeff that I want. Consistent Jeff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that might be gone because I think he's somehow transitioned into a power hitter now in an odd way. So you might get different Jeff. Right. I don't know if you get consistent Jeff.
What's his? You have his numbers up there real quick?
I popped my four,
I'm just curious what his average is now.
I think it's 235 last I looked.
Yeah, okay,
like
great. He should be hitting 320. Like, and this is nice to see. And the Mets have needed it because other guys have slowed down a little bit. So good for
231.
McNeil. I mean, think about what we're talking about here. Oh, happy Jeff. He's going nuts. He's gone nuts since the All-Star break. He's still hitting 231.
Yeah.
So what is Jeff McNeil as a player? Like, he's a gamer as far as you can put him in left, put him in right, put him at second base, play him at third. He'll do that. He's fine defensively. But at the plate, what does he do? I mean, he's not fast when he gets on the base pass. Matter of fact, he doesn't even know how to run the bases properly. So he's become a power hitter all of a sudden. Jeff McNeil, you're going to rely on him to hit, you know, 20 home runs? That's not him.
No.
So what is he? So if he's not hitting 300, what is he?
He's an overpaid player is what he is. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have value the rest of the season.
Correct. I'd still trade him just because I think his value is high. Now, maybe it's something that, hey, sit on it, ride out the year, and then look to make those type of changes.
Off-season.
Yeah. Because as much as I don't want Jeff McNeil on this team moving forward for reasons of inconsistency and the selfishness, whatever, it's working right now. And that's not a type of move that you need to necessarily make now.
Yep, yep.
And just do it in the offseason. But
you could.
But like tell me you're going to rely on him next year to do what?
I don't think he'll be on the team next year.
Okay.
Unless he went on some crazy run and this continues and he does some damage in the playoffs. I think he's going to be an ex-Met.
Right. But there's a reason for that, because you just don't know. You can't rely on him. Bobby is calling from Westchester. What's up, Bobby?
Sal, you stole one of my points. I wanted to hear the King Cohen song, but you played it already.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Listen, Sal, you know, you are the new voice of the Mets for the fan listeners. Evan's out, you're in. Here's what I want. I don't want you down on Wednesday, because let me tell you my take on the trade deadline. You said, correct me if I'm wrong, two bullpen arms, be nice to get a starter, and, you know, a bench player, a bat.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, do you really think they have the trade chips to make all those moves?
Yes, Bobby, because you're talking about taking on money. So, first of all, what's it going to cost to get a bench player or an outfielder? It shouldn't cost much.
But go to the bullpen. Everybody's looking for bullpen help.
It's going to cost really, them a lot. They're going to have to take on a bad contract or take on another player's bad contract. They have to take on money or trade a prospect. That's the only two ways to do it.
So now if they make a move for a stud reliever and a bench player, are you down on them Wednesday morning?
I'd be disappointed, Bobby, and thank you for the call, and I do appreciate the kind words. That would not be enough to me, BT. He said a stud reliever and a bench bat. That's close. It's not good enough. That's not all in.
Yeah.
Like, they need, if the Mets don't come away with minimum two bullpen arms, like, that's minimum. I'm assuming they're getting two arms. Could be both guys from the same team. Could be two different trades. They need two major league arms that are capable of getting outs in high leverage situations, minimum. And then, if you want to talk about all in, get a top of the rotation starter, but at least if they get a bench bat, if you tell me, Bobby, if the question was, if they get two legit bullpen arms and a bench bat, would I go nuts Wednesday? I would not go nuts Wednesday. I'd be at least satisfied with that.
I think you'll be happy. Yeah. I do. I think you're going to be happy with whatever happens. I think it's going to be enough where, let's say you'll be like, end of the spectrum enthralled, like over the moon doing flips, like, wow. But I don't think on Wednesday that we will get bothered Sal or lamenting Sal. I think what they do.
I won't be disappointed.
No, I think you will be, take the middle. You will be right of
right
of like what's acceptable. Or, if the middle's benign, not great, not bad. I think you're going to be to the right of that. I think you're going to be happy. I don't think you're going to be thrilled.
Six or seven.
Yeah, maybe even a 7.5. I think you're going to like what you got.
Now, I'd like to get in the 8 to 10 range.
Yeah, wouldn't we all?
Joe is in Brooklyn. What's up, Joe?
You guys crack me up. I absolutely love it. That last joke, I mean, it's great. It's like hanging out with the guys I used to work with. Anyway, two quick comments and then a question for you, especially BT.
Yeah.
Regarding the show yesterday, I called, it was too late. The name of the movie that they were watching in the dugout, eating the popcorn.
What was it?
The Bronx Bombing. The Bronx Bombing. That was my name of the movie. Okay. My other comment is, I understand the direction of baseball, but I find myself, I'm constantly looking at the pitch clock. I mean, not the pitch clock, the pitch count, and it drives me nuts that I got to watch these guys roll 20 to 30 pitches in the first inning. It drives me nuts. First of all, I'm a Met fan. I don't know if you recognize my voice. I'm a Met fan. My question is, BT and Sal, I don't know if you saw it last night, the ninth inning on the court stealing at third base, do you think that Vientos was right in just holding his glove there? I was thinking he's got to reach for that, because there's no guarantee. You got to reach for the tag, because if that ump called him safe, they wouldn't have overturned it the other way either. So that was my question for you guys. You guys have a fantastic weekend. Keep it up. Sal, looking forward to you tonight on the show.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Thank you for the call. Baseball Night, New York, 6 o'clock. Which play is he talking about here? I don't recall that one off. You know which play he's talking about with Vientos and the tag?
Merrifield stole third base.
Right.
And Alvarez wasn't a perfect throw, but close to it.
Right.
And Vientos kind of caught it, but didn't make the tag properly. And they actually, look, he actually got in there before the tag, but they called him out, and it wasn't enough to overturn it, so they called him out.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a bang bang as you'd think.
And look, Vientos is not he's not a great defensive third baseman, so maybe there's issues there. I think I might have seen the play, but now I'm forgetting why. Was that the one that they were talking about overturning it?
Yeah, that's that's the one.
And they were surprised that
that they didn't overturn it.
Okay, I was half paying attention to it at that point. You know what we were watching last night? That Presumed Innocent show. Have you seen this one? We talked about this with Jake Gyllenhaal.
No.
So I had that one on. I was watching both, and I might have missed that. But I do remember them talking about it on the broadcast, so I might have just gotten in as that play was developing.
You know what I was watching last night? 40 little girls ice skate, 36 of which don't know how to ice skate, hoping nobody bangs their head with a lawsuit for my daughter's birthday party. It was awesome.
You didn't put on the skates, though.
I was out there. I didn't feel well yesterday, actually. It was such a long day. It was an amazing party, but it was so... Listen, you're going to learn because she's still young. Now she's going to school, and like the first couple of birthdays are big, but she doesn't have a ton of friends yet. It's like family, maybe neighbors, or knowing you. You might not even want to talk to your neighbors, knowing you. But... As she gets to school, Hoff knows this, as she gets into school and she's 7 and 8, eventually she's on some teams, soccer, softball, basketball, whatever, Brownies, Girl Scouts. That party list grows. And it was 40-something kids at this ice skating, right? It was great. She deserves it. It was awesome.
Well, happy birthday, Kins. Glad you had a great week. Glad you had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
You will be off Monday, Tuesday, correct? Yeah. Just know when you come back Wednesday, you heard a happy Jeff.
The coin flips.
It's going to be happy Sal. Yankees may be dead and buried officially.
Show me something. Keep showing us, man. Don't stop.
Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff as well. All right, BT.
Yes,
enjoy
sir.
Your weekend. Enjoy your couple of days
Thanks,
off.
Buddy.
We'll see you next week. Evan and Tiki coming up next, but it's McMonagle and Marash filling in for those two. I'll see you Monday, 10 a.m. Enjoy your weekend.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.